Hello, everybody. Welcome to our second podcast. I have Christina Hill on the line with us today from Atlanta Humane Society. She's here to speak to us a little bit about what to look for in humane societies or rescue groups and some of the things to expect while you enter those facilities and what makes them different and things like that. So, Christina, welcome. Thanks for being with us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It's a great topic and one definitely everyone should think about.
Absolutely. And just so our viewers know, if we could start this out, maybe give us a little bit of information about, your specific location. I know there were a few different locations at one point as well. So we'll just kind of start there and see where it takes us.
Yeah, of course. So the Atlanta Humane Society operates out of three locations typically. So we have a location in Alpharetta, Duluth, and West Midtown. Because of COVID, we are adopting animals out of our West Midtown location with appointments, which is very exciting. We've had a lot of interest in adoption during this time, which is just absolutely fantastic, as well as foster homes. So our community has really stepped up and helped out by taking animals into their house and loving on them, giving them all the care in the world, and helping them find loving homes. So, we're really excited about that. We also offer a lot of resources to pet owners once they've adopted. So everyone always thinks of, Atlanta Humane or another rescue group as a place where you go to adopt a pet and start that journey. But we're really there for all pet owners throughout their pet journey, whether they adopted from us specifically or not. So providing, veterinary care, free pet food if you, become financially unstable and you need to ensure that your pet stays fed, of course. Behavior training, dog classes, all sorts of things. We're there for you throughout your entire pet's life.
That's great. I didn't know that you guys did fosters there as well. So that's really cool to hear that you guys can foster out and get them out of the enclosed area more times than not. You don't get to see that. So that's great.
Yeah, fostering is really important. It definitely helps us to get to know an animal, what they're like in a home setting, which is fantastic. And it gives that animal an ambassador. So it gives them someone to take them on walks in the Beltline with a little Adopt Me vest on them. And, someone where you can really learn a lot about them when they're in that setting and help them find a really, really great match for them.
That's great. That's great. So, I was talking to Kathy earlier and I think we decided that, I'm looking to get another pet and my reasons might not be reasons that people would think that's probably not a good reason to get a pet. So we'll get into that a little bit later, but knowing that I'm wanting to look into getting a pet, what should I look for in a humane society or really in any rescue group? I know that there are some groups that focus specifically, they're considered rescue groups that might have just German Shepherds or specific breeds. So what are some of the things I should be looking for?
I think you really hit it on the spot. If you're looking for a very specific breed, there's great websites out there like petfinder.com where you can search all of the rescues in your area, all the humane societies, the ASPCAs, the county shelters, everyone, and see what kind of breed you're looking for. See, if you're looking for a certain size of dog, a certain age, and find that perfect match. But definitely if you're looking for a very specific breed, there are so many wonderful breed-specific rescues out there who have those breeds, who only take in those animals so that you can find that perfect match and find that breed. If you're looking for maybe an animal, you're not really sure what you're looking for, great places always to start is Pet Finder as well, or, our website, other websites of shelters in the area, and just get a sense. A lot of us have information about that pet, with their high energy, what kind of home they might be best in, what we know about them. Sometimes shelters don't always know. Sometimes that animal has just come in. Maybe they were a stray. We just don't have a lot of information on them. So if you can come in to a facility, I know right now it's a little bit more difficult,
sure.
But it's always a great opportunity if you can come in and see the animals, browse, see who catches your eye. There's always that special little moment when you find that perfect match and you just know it. And we love seeing it, with people when they come in and they just connect with an animal and it's fantastic.
And, Christina, my next question for you, too,
one of the things I'm considering is, how do you know if you want to go the route of a dog or a cat or something like that? I know each animal is different and requires different amounts of attention. And how do you put those things into play? How do you understand what type of things you need to look for in each of those animals to decide which one's going to be the best fit for you?
You're trying to decide between a dog and a cat. You know, that is, lifestyle is a great thing to take in consideration there. If you're not home a lot, you like to travel, cats are the perfect companion. I know they get sometimes a bad rep, but they're fantastic for that type of lifestyle. And they love on you a lot more than you might think. But really, you know, there's cat-specific rescues out there as well, which is great. So really, you kind of want to take a minute and think, you know, what am I looking for in a pet? And starting from there.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And that's actually one of the things that Kathy and I were talking about. She actually asked me, you know, have you thought about what breed you want? Have you thought about what size dog you want? Have you thought about even what age dog you want? And so, you know, I told the listeners the first podcast, but I don't know if I ever told you, you know, I have three dogs of my own. I have a Boston Terrier, a Bulldog, who her personality speaks through her breed. And then I have a big German Shepherd who is a gentle giant. And I wanted to almost look into getting, you know, either an older dog, because I know they have a harder time of finding a home, or I want to look into getting a puppy and raising it from the beginning, because that's what I'm thinking it might be best with my dynamic, is to maybe not introduce an older dog into a crazy home, and maybe it might be better to have a puppy. So those are some of the things I'm hoping maybe we can walk through today and discuss and figure out kind of the route that I should go. So really, take me through the journey of, you know, I'm wanting to get a new animal. I've established that I want it to be a dog. I'm going to the Atlanta Humane Society. What are some of the things that I would learn and figure out just by walking through the doors of your facility? So take me through kind of the adoption process from still trying to find the animal that I would like to adopt.
Yeah. So when you come to the Atlanta Humane Society, we have fantastic adoption counselors and animal care staff who know everything there is that we can know about the animals. So they'll walk you through, they'll be there if you have any questions. They also have kennel cards, as many organizations do, with the full information on that animal. So everything that we have, from a medical history to their behavior, all animals that come through our facility, the first thing that we do is give them a little behavior test to kind of understand, you know, are they a little picky about men? Do they not like children? Are they friendly with other dogs? You know, would they be a good fit, you know, live with a family like yours where there's three other dogs, or would they prefer to be the only child? So we know a little bit information about that. And every single animal also gets a medical evaluation, which is fantastic because you know that animal's been vaccinated. They've had a special, you know, shelter medicine examination. And so when you're going through that paperwork, you can see, you know, this animal has a medical condition. Is that something, you know, that I want to be able to take on? A lot of fantastic people do. You know, if you have other animals, you'll be able to know who would be a good match for those other pets. And then when you're ready to adopt, we try to make it as easy as possible. Pets and people belong together, and we think that, you know, it's a fantastic match. And we talk to you, you know, we'll talk to you, we'll sit you down, and we'll say, hey, like, what are you looking for in a pet? You know, if you know that, you know, Storm, you know, super active. Do you like to run? Do you like to, you know, you have a big backyard that she can play around in, and kind of just talk you through it. And if you're like, no, I don't have a big yard, it's like, well, maybe take her to the dog park if she likes other dogs, and try to talk you through and help set you up for success. Once you're home with that pet, you can kind of learn a little bit. And they're there for all your questions. So if you're getting a puppy, obviously the big one is the puppy going to eat my shoes? Is he going to be everywhere? So they're happy to help. And we'll talk you through, like, here's some starter tips on potty training. Here's some starter tips on teething. You know, we always recommend crate training. It's a great way for a pet to be comfortable, you know, in a home, and to maybe learn some of those behaviors in the appropriate way. So we really talk you through everything. And we're here, like I said, after. So if you have a question or concern even after you've adopted, just give us a call and we'll talk you through it.
That's great. That's awesome to hear. And so, you know, I know I've gone to a few humane societies in the past, and I feel like, you know, some are different than others in terms of the size of the facility, the area that the dogs can go out and play in. You know, some of them have the outdoor play areas and things like that. And I know the biggest thing that, you know, as a customer and somebody that walks into facility is how well kept that facility is. To me, that just makes me think if a facility is well kept, then that's going to translate into the animals that are at their location as well. So walk me through that, how you guys help, you know, keep your area clean, how you help keep the animals clean and healthy. Do you have a specific type of like veterinary area? I know that sometimes emergency surgeries and things like that happen. You might get an animal that comes into you that's in bad shape and might need some type of emergency surgery. So do you guys have type of those things in those areas at your specific facility?
Yeah. So we actually have a shelter medicine team. So a team of trained veterinarians and veterinary technicians who only work on our shelter animals, and that is their pure responsibility, is to make sure that those animals are healthy and happy. So they do everything from heartworm treatment to x-rays to spay and neuters, you know, to amputations if the animal's in great pain. They monitor everybody's medication if they're, you know, if they're on something. They do daily checks on everybody. They'll walk through the facility, make sure nothing's looking weird. When a foster animal has, you know, something weird, as sometimes foster animals do, especially if they're younger, they, you know, they're talking with the foster parent and talking them through that. And like, do you need to bring your pet in? Can you bring this in with them? You know, what, how long have they been experiencing these symptoms? So we have a fantastic shelter medicine team who is responsible for this. It's an absolutely fantastic job. And we work, you know, we work with specialists as well if it's needed. You know, a lot of times there are medical procedures. You know, last year we had just a ton of puppies with heart defects come in.
Wow.
Which is really scary for a tiny little puppy. So, you know, we worked with, a cardiologist to try to understand like who needs, you know, special heart surgery, who just kind of needs monitoring. Sometimes it's just a matter of helping to train that adopter and let them know, hey, look out for this. It might be okay. It might be something in the future you have to keep an eye on. But they're fantastic. They do an absolute great job. And yeah, I mean, when you're adopting that pet, they make sure that you know everything that they know, which is great.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And, you know, I'm a sucker for those sob stories. Whenever I see the puppies that have heartworm or really any type of injury, old dog, young dog, it breaks my heart. So that's great to know that you guys do all that. And now just hearing you say that, is that facility open? So say I adopt my dog there, and I'm more like to, it's like a kid where, you know, they have their pediatrician and you like them to stay with that same pediatrician until they have to move into an adult doctor. Is that something to where if I leave and my dog ends up getting sick or hurt or something, could I bring them back to your facility and let them still continue to see the same people?
So we actually have a separate veterinary center that's open to the public. And our veterinary center is actually a low-cost, affordable care facility.
Oh, wow.
So it's really focused on providing low-cost care to people who need it and who are struggling to pay for their pets. So we offer transparent pricing. You know, if your pet just needs vaccines, you can pop in, get them, you know, vaccine, and you build that relationship with that veterinarian. We also offer adopters pet insurance. So we partner with fantastic folks at MetLife because things happen indefinitely within the first 30 days of adoption.
Sure.
You know, with puppies, I remember when I first got my dog, he was an absolute crackerjack and he'd run into balls. He'd try to like jump up fences. Like he just thought he was absolutely invincible. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're going to break something and you just do not, like, you're not listening.
That sounds like my bulldog.
and so fantastic things like, you know, providing adopters with the option to, you know, sign up for pet insurance and learn how fantastic that can be, because that can really save you in a pinch as well if something happens. So really just ensuring that they have those resources. But our shelter medicine team does just see our shelter pets. We've got, you know, about 500 kids in and out of the facility. And when I say kids, I do mean dogs and cats.
That's awesome. I love it.
you know, that they're monitoring. So to open that up to all of our adopters, which, you know, we do In an average year, 9,000 to 10,000 adoptions would be a lot for them to try to keep track of. But that's why we offer, you know, pet services for you after your adoption as well through other areas.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome to hear. I'm glad, because I know that's always one of the things that I, you know, moving a lot, I worried about was more of not finding a house for me, but where's the closest vet, and how do I know that they're a good vet, you know, because sometimes you get the 100%. Places that you just don't feel comfortable with. So that's really, really good to hear that you guys do that.
Yeah. Well, and we also have a great partnership with BC Animals Hospital. So they'll kind of set you up with your first veterinary appointment as well. And, you know, they have locations all over the metro area. So they'll get you set up as well. So you're really going out with, you know, that pet insurance and that VCA, you know, vet visit. And then if, you know, for those in need who really need that low cost care, then we provide that option as well for those folks.
That's awesome. So I want to go back for a second. I know you said that sometimes, you know, you get pets that are trained. Sometimes you have to do a little work with them. So tell me about that process. Do you guys have in-house, you know, certified trainers that come in, or is it just kind of, you guys try to teach the basic commands? How does that process work?
Yeah, so we have a behavior program, and we put all of our dogs, we give them all enrichment. So we do have a full-time behavior trainer for shelter animals on staff. She works closely with our public trainer. So we also have a trainer who does regular dog training for members of the public. So after you've adopted, or if you've adopted from somewhere else, and they, you know, they do incredible work with these animals. And, you know, some animals are, you know, higher energy and they need more mental stimulation than others. So sure. They ensure that those dogs get put on a specialized prescription. You know, I always look at it as every animal gets that medical prescription where, you know, maybe it's just a spay neuter, maybe they do have heartworms and they need heartworm treatment. And then every animal gets that behavior prescription as well, where, you know, everybody's getting enrichment every single day. You know, they're getting those fantastic frozen Kongs that they love, or they're eating out of a slow feeder and kind of making their brain work a little bit. And then some of the dogs that really need, you know, a lot of mental stimulation, you think about herding dogs who just, they want to work.
Mm-hmm.
They work with those dogs and they actually give them a animal care staff. So they call them a champion, and they give that dog a champion in shelter who is responsible for just ensuring that animal has enrichment and is, you know, learning the different things and staying, you know, mentally stimulated. So it might be they're pulling on a leash. Like, can you, you know, they're responsible then for ensuring that dog is learning how to walk nicely. Because no one likes to, you know, a dog that's pulling, and that's really
right.
Difficult. So we want to be able to set up that potential adopter, you know, with the success that, hey, this dog's been through training. Maybe they adopt it, you know, and the dog's been in our champion program for 3 weeks, and they need, you know, X, Y, and Z still. They need some practice with things. They can help talk them through that. But we're working on those behaviors, and we're working on making these animals absolutely fantastic and great dogs for the community.
Yeah, I love that.
And cats.
You know, hey, I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. So it's crazy. One of my dogs is great. My German Shepherd, I'm telling you, I'm not picking favorites, but he is probably the most well-behaved dog I have ever seen in my life. But then my bulldog, she's impossible to walk on a leash. She'll stay right next to me if I take her off a leash, but the second she's on a leash, she for some reason wants to lead the entire pack. So that's I love it. I love that you guys work on some of those things, because that definitely makes the adoption rate a lot higher, and it sets up a good foundation right off the start for that to be a nice, healthy relationship. So I love it. One of the other questions I was thinking in my head is, I know, facilities like yourselves tend to always spay and neuter animals as they come in. Tell me a little bit about that thought process and why that's something that humane societies and rescue centers are so strong on, and why they think that that's probably the better route to go for some of these stray animals or any of the animals that they get.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, animal overpopulation, I don't think is a secret in the South. There are so many animals, and only a limited number of homes, right? So with spaying and neutering has been a fantastic movement here in Georgia, and a lot of great organizations have really been pushing for it and getting rural areas, you know, spaying and neutering animals. just unbelievable rates. They're incredible. And it helps, you know, control the pet population.
Yep.
And it's great. You know, we spay and neuter every single animal who comes into our care. But it's great. I mean, we have a ton of great animals. And we don't, you know, we already have a ton of puppies. It helps control that population, ensure that there's not so many puppies that we don't have homes for.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's a tricky topic and a tricky subject that I know it's hard for a lot of people, and there's so many different conflicting mindsets around that whole thing. But I tend to agree with that side that there's just so many animals that need homes, and let's work on getting those all homes and see what we can do for them and always help everybody out. So completely agree. I couldn't agree with you more. So,
yeah, it's definitely just, oops, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Just a piece of the puzzle. I know we do a lot of transport out as well. You know, the northern states don't see as many animals. They don't have hot summers. You know, they've maybe in their areas have done a lot more spay neuter, for longer. So it's a piece of the puzzle, to try to make sure every single animal has a home.
Yep. I agree. So talk to me, walk me through, let's say I found my animal at your facility. What do I do from there? What's the process of adoption look like in terms of paperwork? Are there any type of qualifications? So, because I know with my German Shepherd, one of the qualifications that I had to have was a certain size backyard with a certain length fence. So walk me through kind of that stuff. What's the paperwork look like? What's the qualifications, if there are any, and things like that?
So we work off of what we call an open adoption policy. You know, most people that, you know, if you come into our building, you're going to give us your driver's license. Your animal's going to be microchipped to that driver's license. You're not coming in for any sort of bad reason. 99% of pet owners will absolutely love that pet to bits.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make that an easy process. We want to make adoption easy. We want to make it accessible because as we just, you know, we talked about, there's tons of animals that need help. And we're so thankful and so lucky to be in a community that chooses adoption, that comes, you know, to adopt an animal. And we can't sometimes we can't keep up with the number of adoption requests we get, which is fantastic.
It's a good problem.
So we really, yeah, we work on this open adoption process. We have a conversation with you. We kind of, you know, touched on that a little bit, where just ensuring that pet is the right fit for you. You know, if you are a little bit of a couch potato, and you don't like going around a lot, and you don't like running, because it's sometimes horrendous to have to run in Atlanta.
Yes,
you're,
it
like,
is.
Sitting around watching Netflix, and you're taking home a high energy dog. We'll talk with you about that and kind of make sure, you know, that this dog's probably going to want to run. You know, it's going to want to get out there. You know, just make sure that that's a right fit and you understand, like, what that is, and you're willing and ready to take on what that pet needs. So we don't have fence requirements. You know, we don't have vet checks. You know, sometimes people don't even have veterinarians because it's their first pet.
Sure.
Especially in Atlanta. So we believe that pets and people belong together, and we want to be able to make as many of those matches as possible.
That's great. I love it. So with me having three other dogs, would I need to bring my other dogs into the facility? Is that something that would be, you know, beneficial? Because the only reason I say that is, again, I call her my problem child, my bulldog. She has a very interesting personality where, you know, my German Shepherd, I could put him with a baby and leave the room and he'd be fine. But my bulldog would try to steal her bottle out of the baby's hand. So that's what I almost worry about translating into another dog. Is that something that you guys would not maybe require, but suggest, or maybe you do require it? How does that work?
Yeah, we can always facilitate meet and greets. It's definitely an important part of ensuring that pet's the right fit for you and that pet will stay, you know, with you for the rest of their life. So we always facilitate meet and greets. Don't always with dogs and cats, because that can get a little bit weird.
Yep.
You know, sometimes cats take a little bit of time, but for dogs to dogs, if we know that dog likes other dogs, and we know, obviously, your dogs, they like other dogs. They have three other, maybe they're a little bit particular about who their friends are. We can 100% facilitate a meet and greet It's great because we have kind of a neutral territory, right? Like sometimes you get animals home and then you introduce a brand new animal. They're like, who is this dog?
Right.
Been in my bed all of a sudden. I'm not sure if I like them. Our adoption counselors are also there to help talk you through, hey, when you do get home, these are the important things that you'll want to do. And, you know, setting up a crate, making sure they have some of that time away from each other so they're not overwhelmed. You know, here are things that you can look for that might escalate into an issue that you can kind of help your dog redirect if needed. But definitely always happy. We're always happy to facilitate that, the meet and greet and that time when, you know, and hopefully it goes fantastic because it's such a great feeling to see your dog play with like a new family member who you've already fallen in love for it, love with, and watching them do the same.
Absolutely. It's like when you have two kids and they aren't fighting for once, it's such a happy feeling.
Yeah.
So I agree.
It's so great.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It sounds like you guys have an amazing facility. I love what you guys do. I love what you try to help get to. I love your mission. So I love it. I think the world of you guys. So leading into that, I know you said you guys have a lot of animals there that you're working with. Do you guys have a rescue animal of the month that maybe we can talk about a little bit? And maybe one of our listeners would love to come and check that animal out.
Yeah, of course. So I would love to talk about Storm. She's a little brindle pity, and she's just got the smile of an absolute angel. She's perfect. She's almost 2 years old, and she's been with us for quite some time now. So, you know, she's one of those that has really tugged at our hearts, and we've gotten to know her really well. She's actually almost been with us since January.
Wow.
So she's been with us through the COVID time. You know, she's really looking for, she's not looking, maybe not at home like yours. She's looking to be the only dog in the house, which can be a little bit harder to find a home for that type of dog, because a lot of people already have another pet. They want to get another pet. Or they want a dog who would like to go to, you know, at the dog parks, but she wants to be the only one. And she's so sweet. She's absolutely sweet.
That's awesome. She likes to be an only child. I don't blame her. That's okay.
She likes to be an only child, 100%. Hey, you know, that's sometimes important, but, she loves being outside, loves playing with toys, chasing tennis balls. She's as my dog is, a big squirrel fan. so we have fantastic trees in our play yards here, at our West Midtown location. And she's always barking at those trees, looking for those squirrels who, I swear, those squirrels, they just have so much confidence. They have actually no fear, and they run around in the play yards with the dogs. And I'm like, you guys are unbelievable, but they're very fast squirrels. So she loves that. But yeah, she is really looking for someone who's experienced, who has time and patience to work with her. And we do a foster first program, which is fantastic. So if you're kind of, you know, I want to kind of see if she's the right fit, you can take her home for 2 weeks, see how she acclimates to your lifestyle, learn a bit about her, give her some time to decompress and get used to you. And then after that 2 week period, decide if she's the right match and if you want to adopt her or not.
That's great.
It's a great way, to kind of trial an animal, and our adoption counselors check in with you, throughout that time period and make sure everything's going well. You know, we'll give you all the supplies, the food, everything. So you can just do a little trial with her and see if she's a good match.
Yeah. Again, another thing that I love about you guys, that's a great way to set the stage the right way and make sure everything's going to be comfortable for not only the adopter, but for the animal as well. So that's amazing.
100%.
And again, to our viewers, our sponsor Camp Bow Wow of Lawrenceville, Georgia, will be posting some videos and some pictures of Storm on all social media platforms. So if Storm sounds like a good fit for you or an animal that you might want to check out, head to those pages now and learn more about Storm. She sounds amazing. She sounds adorable. So go on and check her out. But again, thank you, Christina, for your time today. We appreciate it as always, and we will be in touch in the future.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
You don't have to have a pedigree to be treated like a celebrity. At camp, Bow Wow.
Welcome back. Thank you, Julia and Christina, for that very informative conversation about rescues and humane societies. The other avenue you may be considering to find your next puppy would be through a breeder. So, we will be talking with a breeder about their system of preparing a pup for their new forever home. Until then, I'm Kathy Stone.
And I am Julia Elliott.
And we'd like to thank Camp Bow Wow Lawrenceville for their sponsorship, and Christina Hill of the Atlanta Humane Society for her time and her knowledge. So, join us again on All About Dog.